You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, coming to you live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and yeah, like the dude just said, covering all of it, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, this is a weird day. So so literally, I've been given a timeout. I'm not in the room with Boomer right now.
No, you're not.
I am operating remotely from a secret, undisclosed location in a bunker somewhere, but... Anyway, hey, Boomer's on the board, though. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a good day.
Man, you loaded me up. It's beautiful down. It's we're in the secret location. It's beautiful also, but this is not a vacation, in case anybody's wondering. I'm not sure how to spell vacation, just so you know.
Right.
But, Boomer, good job loading me up on all the tech for the travels.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I mean, I'm sitting here with multiple laptops and a little mini board and microphones, and we're talking.
And
technology.
There we go.
I'm saying. Hey, listen, I've already got one text on the line, Boomer, saying, guess what day it is? You know what day it is.
Oh, I do.
Hit it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yeah, it is midweek. You've made it. You're halfway to the weekend. So congratulations to all of yous. But yeah, today is hump day, halfway to Friday. And we got a great show laid on for you. So just so you know, coming up at 3 o'clock, Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, he'll be calling in because we're going to talk about the Biden administration's attempt to once again circumvent the courts and the legislature and move straight to whatever they feel like doing. And we're going to talk about it in terms of what's happening with women's sports and Title IX. So, yeah, Matt Clark at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, it is indeed going to wind up being that time of week. We have the Grand Council with my two brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and also with Dale Jackson from WVNN out of Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer News. So, yeah, Grand Council at 4 o'clock today. And then we got some stuff, man. We got some serious material. So, Boomer, Triple Dipper, hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So starting right out, we're going to talk about this whole debacle going on with women's sports. Amazing to me. I'm calling this one Killing Title IX. So yeah, first out the gate, we're going to talk about the various aspects of what we're seeing happen with transgender participation in women's sports. And why is that... why is that even allowed? And then again, is it wise? And secondly, we'll talk about the fact that it's potentially illegal. That's why they want to change the law. Killing Title IX, that's number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, I'm just calling it Russia, Russia, Russia. So that's where we are. Russia's all in the news. Latest things have happened, too, with these major intel leaks coming out of the Pentagon. We'll talk about several aspects of what you might want to know regarding Russia, Russia, Russia. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, I started to do this the other day, and I didn't get to it. I thought, that's worth holding on to. It's so important that we find those trusted places, those sources, those people that we want to hear what they have to say, because we know when they speak, we can usually trust it. So my third dipper is called Opinions Matter. And I've got several opinion writers that I'm going to draw from for that one, just to give you an idea of the kind of folks that I look for. And then I would encourage y'all to have your own short list of who you look for in terms of what their opinions are and what they mean. All right, that's the Triple Dipper. Let me just move straight on over to my monologue. Some years ago, I got to tell you, when I was in the state Senate, a lobbyist came by my office, and that was pretty common. And this guy was someone I had known for a few years. He was a decent guy, really. He was what we referred to as a contract lobbyist, somebody who doesn't just work for one company. He has various clients under contract, much like a lawyer or a CPA might do. So contract lobbyists, they were interesting. Sometimes you'd see a professional governmental affairs person who worked directly for just one company, like Alabama Power or Alpha Insurance or the Business Council. And whatever their corporate bosses told them to pursue, well, that's what they had to do. But the contract lobbyists, they were not like that. They were hired guns, really. They worked for whomever retained their services, some good, some bad. but it also meant, technically, they could decline to work for someone if it didn't fit their personal or professional beliefs. So when I saw a contract lobbyist with a client, I knew that either A, the client matched their beliefs, or B, they didn't have any beliefs and therefore they just wanted to get paid. So anyway, this guy, the contract lobbyist, he came to see me. And while I knew he didn't always pursue things the way I believed, I was still nonetheless surprised when he brought in a representative of Apple, the computer company. They had a bill. The bill was designed to give special hiring treatment in state government for LGBTQ applicants. Well, this lobbyist was actually under contract to the Human Rights Campaign. And since he was a contract lobbyist, it told me that he could have turned that one down, but he chose not to. Needless to say, by the way, I did not support their bill. In fact, I helped to kill that bill. But the lobbyist also forever earned a nickname from me, as I called him Herc from then on. Herc, because he worked for HRC. Herc. He would smile and shake his head whenever I saw him in the hallways and hollered out, "What's shaking there, Herc?" All right, all fun and games then, but here's the deal. HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, they have grown in the last few years to become what some call the LGBTQ mafia. I kid you not. If you want to know who is pushing the overwhelmingly rabid transgender agenda, the LGBTQ2IASXYZ plus acronym, corporate wokeness, we'll look no further than the Human Rights Campaign. In fact, let's take the latest shining example of liberal strong-arming, the ubiquitous Dylan Mulvaney. He's everywhere now. And yes, I call him he. I know that you've seen him, his over-the-top antics as he professes to be an influencer and to have transitioned to being a woman during his 365 days of girlhood social media paroxysms. It used to be that he was that obnoxious dude skipping room across the room and laughing, pretending he was a spastic woman. But at least he was confined to TikTok or Instagram, but not anymore. For reasons that no one can seem to fathom, major corporate brands like Budweiser, Nike, and Kate Spade have made him one of their national spokespersons. Why would major corporations long associated with the beer of the average dude and the gear of major athletes and the high fashion sense of actual women feel the sudden need to have a guy with a serious level of immaturity and obvious attention-seeking disorder as their national spokesperson? I'll tell you why in just three words. Human Rights Campaign. So welcome to the world of corporate extortion, the unofficial yet official version of pay-to-play. You heard me talk about ESG scores, environmental, social, governance, the push to make sure that corporations and banks and investment portfolio managers, they all understand that the age of making a profit for a company's shareholders is over, and the new wave of boardroom activity is to be focused on what they call stakeholders, not shareholders, stakeholders. The idea is that the world needs your company to do special things, meaningful things, as long as they are liberal meaningful things. Well, as part of that ESG score, the S is based on something called the Corporate Equality Index. A scoring system that determines whether a company is woke enough when it comes to the acronym's mafia notions. And who keeps the Corporate Equality Index? You guessed it, the Human Rights Campaign. Does the company have a public stance on LGBTQ rights? Does the company provide LGBTQ benefits? Does the company enforce gender identity non-discrimination policies? With the goal of HRC being to force companies to obtain a perfect score of 100 on their corporate equality index, basically a scorecard. If they don't, they risk facing having the corporate equality index score go down, which in turn brings down their entire overall ESG rating. "We can't have that," they say in the boardroom. "We can't have that at all. Get us some more of that woke up in here. Trot out some dude that pretends to be a chick. Let's see if that will up our score." And just like that, a company that once had heroes like Bo Jackson and Michael Jordan promoting its brands at epic levels suddenly has a skinny dude dancing around in Nike sports bras. And if you think that makes no sense, you would be right. If you think that it defies their corporate image, then you would also be right. And yet they do it. And according to the Human Rights Campaign, there are 379 Fortune 500 companies who participate in the HRC Corporate Equality Index scorecard, and 258 of those have achieved that coveted score of 100. Woo! I suppose it's likely that some of those 379 actually believe in the things that HRC stands for. They may, in fact, believe that a biological male can wake up one day and identify as a woman, or that children should be allowed by law, to receive mutilating surgeries that redesign their anatomies. Or, They may really believe that drag queens should be allowed to prance around provocatively in front of elementary-age children. Yeah, maybe some of those companies scoring high on HRC's specially designed extortionist scorecard actually believe that all those things are good and wholesome and need protecting. But I have a theory, though. I have a theory that a bunch of those who participate really don't believe that. It's my opinion that many of those companies scoring well on the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index are really just corporate cowards. Cowards who are afraid. And they let their boardroom fears make their decisions, and the company moves ever further toward a subservience to wokeism, never knowing that the wokists who promote it will never be satisfied. The rabid wokists will always want more. They will always demand more. And if you fail them, they will threaten to lower your score and thereby bring the fires of ESG upon your corporate bottom line. But history tells us that the companies that stand up and actually say no, well, they do pretty well. Rather than scoring 100 on HRC's made-up index, we might need more companies to shoot for a golf score. You know, the lower the score, the better. Sort of a low-score wins approach. Take a look at Goya Foods, the largest Hispanic-owned food distribution company in the U.S. After Goya took conservative stances, progressive cancel culture called for massive boycotts, but yet their net sales rocketed up by 22%. People who had never eaten black beans in their whole life rushed to the stores to buy Goya food products. How about Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A, who has faced constant backlash from liberals for daring to promote biblical marriage between a man and a woman. The boycotts failed every single time, and Chick-fil-A is now the third highest grossing restaurant chain in the world with sales over $10 billion. My point is this. The HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, and the liberal wokists, they'll never be satisfied. They are bullies. But those companies who will dare to say no, companies who will dare to push back, will find that good old red-blooded Americans will rush to their support, and we will thank them for their courage. Because in this case, for conservatives, the low score wins. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I'm telling you. When it comes to that HRC index, yeah, man, the low score wins. We've got to also, by the way, support those companies that will get out there and fight for conservative values and push back on the LGBTQ mafia scorecards. For the love, let's keep this thing moving forward. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, hey, before I go any further, I got to know. It's an important question. It's a very big, big, big deal. Did your little man's baseball game go good last night?
Yes, it went well. I have come to the realization that I go to these baseball games with no expectations, but enjoy it because I am of the utmost. I would be uptight if I didn't go into it with that mindset. I would say
that. you kind of have to. Yes, because you are a college baseball player yourself. So you played at a high level, and you have an expectation of yourself. You can't translate that to a little guy, man.
Right? Not yet. And so I go into it, and I just have a good old time. You know, yelling and screaming and cheering everybody on, and you know, talking to the umpire behind the plate and making them laugh. And
wait. Talking to the umpire behind the plate. Pray tell, are you one of those dads?
Oh, I totally am. But I mean, I'm doing it all out of fun. It's all a good time, making them laugh. Not like, you know, you know, not one of those parents yet.
Making him laugh, you think.
I think. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't thrown out yet. So.
Well, all right. So what's the deal, though? Did he win?
No, he did not.
Did they keep score?
I think they keep score. I don't keep score. It just hurts. So I just I just roll with it.
Well, how did he do?
He did good. He did good. He had a hit, and he got all the way around the bases and scored, and so he did good. He got a couple outs. So, you know, proud papa.
That's awesome.
Proud dad. That's, so I'm good.
That's awesome. Well,
thanks for asking. Good.
Absolutely, man. Are you kidding? This is big stuff.
Yeah, big doings.
Hey, do you put a note up on the board for me? So I am out of town on business, transmitting from a secret bunker in a faraway location. But you put a note on the board. Did the second member of the legislature in Tennessee get reinstated?
I just saw it up on the screens. I believe it was on the left screen, which is CNN, guys. It said that the second of the three that, or the second one that was taken, you know, what is it? Voted out of the House of Reps has been elected to go back in. So
it must be state law that they can do this in pretty much any municipality, I guess.
I guess so.
That's a wacky situation. So do you know, by the way, Boomer, I apologize. I'm having to get this in just by you telling me, because I haven't seen a story on it.
Right.
But does he go back in permanently, or is this like until they do a special election, which I think is what I recall hearing last time?
I believe it's a special election. It just flashed up on the screen. It was breaking news, and then it went away. So I'm sure it'll be back on probably soon.
Oh, it'll be all the rage. They are now the new magic people of the Democrat Party. They're having their moment of fame they are the Wunderkind. They are the ones. They are the second coming. It's just been awful.
Oh.
And what's crazy is they're going to go right back in. But here's the thing. You know what? The city council chose to do that. Fine. That's their prerogative. If the law says do it that way, do it that way. Guess what? They will always have an asterisk by their name.
Oh,
they
yes.
are some of the only two people in Tennessee history to be literally gutted like a fish and sent packing. And the fact that they got to come back, okay, whatever. But you know what? Not because you didn't get disciplinary action while you were here.
Mm.
You still got spanked. But that's the way I see it. All right. Hey, we got some good stuff coming up. I just got confirmation again from Matt Clark. He will be here at 3 o'clock to talk about the legal aspects of Title IX and the fact that we've got the Biden administration just makes crap up. And it's just crazy to me that we are in the place that we are. I mean, this shouldn't be happening. We should not be sitting here having leadership acknowledge the worth, if you will, of men competing against women. And yet they are trying to gut Title IX. Title IX was, and by the way, I would bet that Joe Biden in all his years in D.C. would never have done this in the legislature. Never. And yet here we are, and his administration is pushing this forward like it's the next best thing since sliced bread. I mean, they are literally doing what they can to gut women's sports and to promote the idea that somehow or another we can have a man pretend that he's a woman and then be allowed to not only pretend for his own benefit on the weekends in his personal time, he can pretend in a way that actually causes harm to women. Yeah, it's a wacky world. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. Ah, by the way, living proof that I can do that without notes. Whoop, whoop.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I'm going to jump into this topic. And like I said, at the top of the hour, we'll have Matt Clark calling in. And then at 4 o'clock, we've got the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson both on the air with us. And right now, let's talk about this madness that we're seeing in women's sports. And I got to ask you, let's flip the script here too, all right? So the advocates who say we don't have an advantage just because we're used to be men, they're deluding themselves. But the idea that they say we don't have an advantage, well, okay, how about this? Why don't we see more transgender men? In other words, chicks that now believe that they're dudes competing in dude sports. I mean, why not? What's stopping that? Maybe it's because they will get waxed. How about that? Maybe it's because they recognize the risks they run. Maybe it's because they also recognize that, you know, there actually is potentially some difference between the male and female anatomy. And if you were born biologically male, you don't need to be competing against women. In fact, you shouldn't. In fact, I would call it morally reprehensible. And the same would be true, though, if you are born a woman and now you believe that you're a man, you should not be competing in men's sports. If nothing else, for your own health. How long ago was that, Boomer? I keep bringing it up, but that transgender hockey league situation. Oh, that was yes. Like in December or something
was,
like that?
Yeah, it was before the new year. It was like end of November, December, maybe somewhere right in there.
And which was, by the way, a classic example, right?
Yes.
So we have the NHL-sponsored transgender hockey league. They got their own hockey league. But they get on the ice. It's the Pinks playing the Blacks, if I'm not mistaken. That was their team names. And so the dude who calls himself a chick went up against the chick who calls herself a dude. And the chick who calls herself a dude got laid out on the ice unconscious. I mean, checked her up against the boards, knocked her cold, gave her a concussion, and she was out. I saw one just the other day, which is a few years old, actually. Oh, I just forgot the name of the guy, but this guy who now identifies as a woman doing mixed martial arts against actual women and literally cracked the skull of the woman he was competing against. Why is this? At what point is it going to take somebody dying before we stop this madness? Well, I know you saw it, but last week, Riley Gaines, the All-American NCAA swimmer, she was giving a speech at San Francisco State University. Well, note number one, she was in San Francisco. But she was at San Francisco State University as a part of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization. And she was giving a speech. And she was giving a speech about what it felt like for her as a NCAA All-American, one of the top female swimmers in the nation, having to compete against the one who calls himself Leah Thomas, the dude who now swims in chick sports, the one who is competing against women where he had been a moderately good swimmer in men's swimming events. Now he's switched over and he's breaking records in women's events. Go figure. Nonetheless, Riley Gaines had to compete against him, and she points out what a tragedy it was that there were. Now, she was able to stay up, but she actually lost several events to him. And she points out, though, that there are young women who have worked all their life who are getting knocked out of competitions, knocked out of the chance to be an All-American because they let a guy swim in the event, and it totally disrupted the entire flow. So she's giving her speech at San Francisco State, and I know most of y'all have seen this, but literally, she is merely giving a speech, a well-reasoned speech. She wasn't inflammatory, but she was saying things they didn't want to hear. And a counter-protest started, which was put together by, what was the name of the group? A pro-trans group that calls themselves the San Francisco State University's Queer and Trans Resource Center. And they came out, and they came out hard. And a lot of times during her speech, they were trying to drown her out, you can figure. But the worst part was they bum-rushed her. They bum-rushed her, and she was assaulted. On the stage, there were several incidents where she was hit and pushed, and police had to grab her and escort her off the stage. They wound up getting out in the hallway. They couldn't get through the crowd. The crowd then blocked her into a room. The police put her in the room for her own safety and stayed there with her and had to call for backup because the activists were in the hallway barricading her in for 3 hours. Mr. Flight, home, all of it. This is ridiculous. So Fox News has one of those versions of the story. Former NCAA swimmer Riley Gaines was barricaded in a room at San Francisco State University Thursday night after she was physically assaulted following a speech to students about saving women's sports. Her husband said he had brief conversations with her while she was barricaded in the room. In his words, he said, "She told me she was hit multiple times by a guy in a dress. He said, I was shaking. It made me so mad. It makes me sick to feel so helpless about it. She was under police protection, was still hit by a man wearing a dress." In Riley's words, her own words, the prisoners are running the asylum at San Francisco State University. Let me just go ahead and point out something, though. You would think the university would be embarrassed. You would think they would issue a statement condemning these activities. They did not. They literally talked about how it is right for people to be able to protest. We need to be careful about how we handle this. It was just the most milquetoast. We don't want to upset the apple cart here, or they might come to our houses and do something. Response. Meanwhile, Riley Gaines says she's filing suit against the school, and good for her. But this isn't the only example. I mean, Riley Gaines' experience is not the only example. I told you about the hockey thing. I told you about the mixed martial arts thing. I got this one. Fox News has another story just last week. Those of you that follow women's PGA, Brianna Gill won the Australian Women's Classic in New South Wales, Australia. Caused a bit of a stir because Brianna Gill is actually a dude. An Australian pro golfer playing on the Women's PGA Tour of Australasia, she needed a birdie at hole 18 to force a playoff, and she got just that. And she won the playoff to hoist the trophy up to be for the first time in her professional career. But backlash came. So much so they had to shut off the comments on the Twitter feed about the trophy. This is not the first time, by the way. There's another transgender playing on the women's circuit who won a mini tour in the U.S. just in 2021. Brianna Gill says, "Opposition to transgender women playing in female sports irritates me due to being based on societal stereotypes and not the actual facts and real athlete experiences." Again, flip the script. Why don't we see biological women competing in the men's tournaments? Why don't we see biological women competing in, I don't know, pick one, the National Hockey League? Mixed martial arts again? It goes on and on. And the idea that this is happening on our watch, the idea it's happening at all. I totally agree with Riley Gaines. The inmates are running the asylum. But it gets a little worse. It's not just a societal pressure thing. It's not just somebody caving into a woke agenda. The Biden administration is leading the charge on this. And I don't mean like a little bit. So story off the Daily Wire. We'll dissect it more when we get back with a top of the hour with our friend Matt Clark. But the Daily Wire has a piece. The Biden administration is now proposing actual changes to the interpretation of Title IX. This is another one of those moments when you recognize that the Biden administration could care less about the legal processes in this nation. They do not care a bit about the idea of whether or not there's a legislative action that should take place before something can become the law or be amended by law. They don't care whether the courts are going to rule something unconstitutional or a violation of existing law. They don't care. They're just going to go forward and do what they want to do by fiat, pure executive fiat. The Biden administration, it says, proposed new regulations on Thursday that would prohibit schools enforcing bans on trans-identifying males in girl sports. Really? Yes. How are they going to do this? What's their enforcement mechanism? They will withhold federal funding. And by the way, that can be as simple as it's a school that simply gets federal funding for free and reduced lunches for poor children. But hey, whoa, wait a minute. We don't care about feeding those poor kids if you won't let dudes play in chick sports. This is where we are. This is the madness that we are descending into right now. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we have to be ready to speak up, because if you think it's not going to happen here, well, guess what? It's there's a reason why we already passed one bill in our state legislature to ban K-12 cross-biological participation in sports. We don't have it yet in colleges. I'm telling you, we as conservatives have got to make sure that we are prepared to speak up, that we are prepared to call our legislators. And oh, by the way, don't think for a second that they still won't try to push it. Because the goal is to probe and to push and to poke and to make you uncomfortable and do what they can. The agenda is real, and they don't care whose life they try to get involved in, but what they never can get around is the Constitution. And we're going to have some people who are willing to stand up on their rights and say, this is not the way it works. You cannot, by executive fiat, just change the law. So we'll take a break right now. We'll come back from the break. When we do, I'll begin to introduce to you what it is the Biden administration is proposing to do, and then what else is happening out there in women's sports. Well, Megan Rapinoe showed up again. Who? Yeah, that's right, the soccer player. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, real quick look at the text lines. There's some good ones. Alex from Elkmont was asking me about whether or not there's ever been a UFC fight, you know, where a dude fights chicks. And I said, yeah, man, it's already happened. And he goes, I'm Googling it now. That's ridiculous. Yeah, it is ridiculous. Absolutely is. And by the way, he cracked her skull. Samah the truck driver, he texted in, he goes, I've never hit a woman before, but if you're a dude wearing a dress, you're fair game.
That's funny.
That is way too funny. What else we got? Oh, Brian from Huntsville just called me out on something I said. I said something about getting, you know, if the woman tries to compete in men's sports, she's very likely to get waxed. And he said, did he just say waxed on transgender sports? What do you do, man? I sorry. Yeah, I guess I did say that. What else we got here real quick? Oh man, I know I saw another one or two. Was it Mike from Athens? Yeah, Mike from Athens. It would be interesting to find out if any trans folks are on a scholarship at any colleges. Well, I'm almost positive that Leah Thomas was on scholarship. So yeah, the swimmer who competed against Riley Gaines. I'm almost positive he was on scholarship while competing in the women's side of things. Oh, I got a caller on the line. I'll do that real quick. Is that Jeff Rowe from Indiana? Jeff, Indiana, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing real good today, Phil.
Well, I'm glad you're doing real good.
I'm now the president of the United States. That's who I'm identifying as.
You identify.
I've got every bit as much right to be mentally incompetent as anybody else in this country.
I'd like to identify as Elon Musk, or at least very least his accountant. How about that?
Well, you can if you want to. I mean, we got guys who can identify as women. We've got kids who can identify as animals and furries and stuff. I mean, you can be anything. You know, be all you. It's almost like the old Army commercial of be all you can be, you know. So if you want to be whatever you want to be, you're that. I mean, if I can, you know, if men can compete in women's sports and women can compete in men's sports, why can't I be president?
Well, you know what? I do believe we ought to start playing, was it Hail to the Chief when you come in on the show from now on?
Well, there you go. Or taking away, whichever is more appropriate.
hey, Jeff, do you know up there where you live, Indiana, do y'all have any laws in place yet to prevent this from happening?
I'm not sure if we do or not. It wouldn't surprise me if we do or have or something is on the way, I imagine, because we've got school choice in Indiana, so we're ahead of you on that.
Yeah, you are.
Anyway.
Yeah, you are. All right, man. Well, listen, yeah. Be safe. You driving today?
Oh yeah, I'm running down this. If I could just figure out how to pick up all this gravel off the side of the road in Tennessee here, I could gravel a lot of places. You know it.
just open your own gravel sales company. All right, brother. Be safe on the road, man. We'll talk to you. Well, so here's the thing. Megan Rapinoe, you remember her? The pink-haired activist women's soccer player on the national team. The one who refused to stand up for the national anthem. So she came out recently, like in the last couple of days. She's all for this. She believes there ought to be a ban on schools stopping trans participation in sports of the opposite sex. Just hey. Now, Megan Rapinoe is an athlete. Regardless of what you think about her, you know, her societal beliefs, she's an athlete, world class. I guarantee you, if now that her day has passed, but if I guarantee you, if she had a chance to go back to the women's national team and play again, and they said, and by the way, Cristiano Ronaldo says he identifies as a woman now, and we're going to put him on your team. I guarantee you she would not be comfortable with it. I guarantee you if she was on the field on the opposite team, had multiple players that were transgender dudes playing in chick soccer, she would not be for it. Oh, yeah, she's off the field now. Oh, it's all good when you're off the field, right? Well, it's not all good. Anyway, the Biden administration, what are they doing? Well, they're changing the laws. Changing the laws, just like literally just saying, you know what, we don't. Courts. Who needs a court? That's silly. Congress. Who needs Congress to pass something that's silly? No, they'll just do it. So, yeah, the Biden administration's Title IX rules are being issued. And by the way, I believe we do have, according to the story I've got here on Fox, we have 30 days for public comment. How about this for comment? Anyway, the Education Department's Title IX rules state that schools that receive federal funding may not ban biological males in girls' sports wholesale, but they may exclude them on a case-by-case basis. Oh. Okay. That's like as nebulous as, I mean, can we just grasp at air here? Can we just like wave our hands in the clouds and watch it swirl around, but we can't actually grab it? That's what just happened. So the proposed rule recognizes that in some instances it says, particularly in competitive high school and college athletic environments, some schools may adopt policies that limit transgender students' participation. You think? However, the proposal would give the flexibility to develop their own participation policies. What? Sex-related criteria at schools that would limit or ban a trans-identified student from playing on the team of their preferred gender must meet two standards. First, it must relate to an important educational objective. Okay. Second, the criteria must minimize harm to the trans-identified student. Really? So it's not about, this is from the Daily Wire, by the way. It's not about the safety of the biological girls. It's about what it does to the transgender. High school girls have been injured, it points out, playing with trans-identified male. Like last year, here's another example. Last year in North Carolina, high school volleyball. A female high school volleyball player suffered severe trauma to her head and neck after a trans-identifying player spiked a volleyball at her head. This is going to wind up in someone getting really, really badly hurt. All right, you guys, listen, stay tuned. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I want to get the perspective of somebody who is an expert in the law. That'd be my friend Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty, how the Biden administration can just by fiat reinterpret the laws. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk radio. That's Phil Williams here in the Right Side Studios. We got the solid, conservative, and just plain right stuff, just like the dude just said. Apparently, Boomer, I can't do it without my notes sometimes.
Sometimes. It's okay.
I was like in mid-sentence, and I went, abada, 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 abada. How many times have I done that every day? You think I can do it in my sleep? Hey, listen, we got great stuff laid on for you. I'm talking right now, number one of the Triple Dipper, Killing Title IX. Killing Title IX. Like, I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like gutting it, like a fish. And so it's not just that we have a situation where, you know, social pressures on certain people and some schools are doing this and others are not. Now we got the Biden administration trying to force the issue by executive fiat, by making amendments to the regulatory aspects of how to enforce and uphold Title IX. They are literally acting as if they have the right to supersede the courts and the legislative branch. Well, I want to bring somebody in to talk about it and to give us the lowdown on how this can happen and what the options are. And that's my friend Matt Clark. Matt is with the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. It's a great guy who's going to bat on things left and right that deal with matters of civil liberties and upholding the rights of individual citizens and companies. So without further ado, my friend Matt Clark, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I am doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Hey, listen, Matt, I know you've probably checked it out. We have state laws, for instance, in Alabama, K-12 schools, they cannot have cross-gender participation. It has to be your biological sex as you were born with is what trumps. I mean, now we got the Biden administration bringing out their new version of Title IX, claiming that they will restrict any and all federal funds from that school if they don't allow transgender participation, at least on a case-by-case basis. Your thoughts on this?
It's an absolute abomination that really turns the purpose of Title IX upside down. I think, when Title IX was originally passed, if you would have asked any reasonable person whether they thought that it would authorize the federal government to withhold funds if you didn't allow biological males in the shower rooms and locker rooms of female students, all of them, including the Democrats, would have laughed at you, thinking, you have to be insane in order to think that our law would authorize that. But now here we are with the Biden administration. Unfortunately, one of the things that's really hurt us was the Supreme Court's decision back in 2019 in Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia. At the time, the advocates of the LGBT position argued that sex discrimination under Title VII applied to LGBT folks. And I remember at the time I laughed it off because I'm like, this goes against cardinal rule of statutory interpretation. But unfortunately, the court bought it. So I think the court's really bad decision in Bostock has given the Biden administration some cover to take these actions. But nevertheless, there are some key distinctions that make me think it's not a done deal. Even if we couldn't bite off Bostock, we can still probably bite this off.
Well, I think we can too. I think there's got to be legal action potential here. You know, if you read the Biden administration's new regulatory version of how to handle Title IX, they allow it to be a case by case basis, which I can't help but look at and go, well, that creates a possibility of disparate treatment. If you're gonna treat some people one way and not others, all you're doing is opening the door for lawsuits just on uneven application of the law, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, you nailed it. Absolutely. When the first three words that came to my mind when I read that were arbitrary and capricious. All right,
yeah.
It's one thing that the government cannot do. I hadn't even thought about the equal protection angle, but I think you're right about that, Phil. So by taking on a case by case basis, the Biden administration has already, opened up the doors for us to be able to beat it up from those two angles, and that's just getting started.
Well, so where do you see this going? I mean, we're talking about they would withhold federal funding from schools that have any just blanket policies of not allowing transgender participation in sports. And what that basically means is hungry kids who rely upon federal funding for free and reduced lunches may wind up getting hungrier.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's bad politics, number one, because of everything that you just said. That's going to happen. But I think we are going to see lawsuits immediately, as soon as the rule goes into effect. Now, that can be a period that takes months. It's going to be a while because right now the Biden administration has just come out with a proposed rule, and under the federal government's Administrative Procedures Act, you know, they have to put the whole country on notice and invite everybody to comment. So one strategy that conservative groups are using now under the APA is to kind of pile down the Biden administration with so many comments, where because the law requires them to, you know, wrestle with every single thing that's brought up. So, you know, that's one thing that we can do to try to stop the train in its tracks to make sure it doesn't, you know, pick up momentum. But if somehow they wrestle with all that, they are going to come out with the final rule. And I would imagine that probably conservative states, I think this would be a good case where Republican attorneys general like Steve Marshall could pounce on this a lot easier than private organizations like ours can. But I think the lawsuits will be immediate, and I don't think it's going to be too long before it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, it's going to have the immediate effect of superseding state law. Alabama's not alone in this. There's multiple states that, you know, exercise their 10th Amendment option to put a state law in place that bans transgender participation in sports. And then you were going to have the Biden administration literally issue a regulatory enforcement directive, and that somehow supersedes state law? I mean, doesn't that seem like it's challengeable on its face?
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, one very unfortunate side effect of constitutional illiteracy and having getting used to a federal government that has done, you know, where the executive branch has done pretty much whatever it wants over the last 100 years, is our understanding of the supremacy clause and preemption is reduced to federal beat state, and that's it. Justice Clarence Thomas has been one justice that's said, you know, if I'm looking at the supremacy clause of the U.S. Constitution, it says the Constitution and the laws of the United States made in pursuance of the Constitution trump state law. But I'm not so sure that applies to things like, you know, like this, where, you know, it's a executive branch agency, you know, action that was passed without really any input from the people or the legislative process. So Thomas is, you know, not convinced that something like that would necessarily preempt us. So I think that's an interesting argument that I think is going to be fought out as this goes forward.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that the phrase constitutional illiteracy is now one of my favorite phrases. I'm going to be using that. So full credit to Matt Clark. I'll be exercising my right to use that phrase, but giving him the credit for having coined it for me. Well, I agree. Now, Matt, let me ask you this. I mean, it technically is not in place yet. They issued this like April 6th or something like that. So we're about 6 days into a 30-day notice period. Can a legal action seeking injunctive relief enjoin this now, or do we have to wait till it actually passes the 30-day window and goes into effect?
That's an interesting question. So honestly, I'm not sure. I think it's a bit of a gray area. I think sometimes you do get judges that will go for injunctive relief, but it's you know, before the rule goes into effect. But in my experience, it's the exception, not the rule. I think you have to get a judge that is very, very sympathetic to what you're trying to do. It sees what the federal government is doing is wrong and doesn't have a problem being a little bit unorthodox tackling it. However, if we're not able to successfully bring a suit before this goes into effect, I would say don't fear. The minute that this goes into effect, I would imagine that a coalition of Republican attorneys general and probably some public interest groups are going to have complaints that are drafted, ready to file. And as soon as, you know, the clock hits midnight, somebody's going to hit the click button and off we go.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, I look at this too. And listen, I got a listener right now who just texted in, calls himself Wayne in Baghdad, believe it or not. But he says that he's looking at this situation and wondering, if they're going to do this in the schools, if they're going to say you got to let them participate, are we now going to say that transgender have to register with Selective Service, you know, for the draft? I mean, are we going to go ahead and say society as a whole is embracing this, and you have to, if you're going to follow through in sports, you got to follow through with the draft, and you got to follow through with everything else? I mean, where does it end?
That's a great question. So, you know, I think Wayne has some excellent insight there. You know, in addition along the lines of what Wayne is thinking and what you said, one thing that I'm thinking about that I hope the advocates on our side will hit hard is that if we interpret Title IX this way, it's going to completely subvert its purposes, right? Because it was built on the premise that there are two sexes, and it was built to ensure equal treatment among the sexes. But if you start breaking that distinction down, the Title IX's protections kind of become meaningless. So for example, if a lot of the times, you know, federal civil rights law is interpreted to prevent people from creating a hostile environment that kind of, you know, undermines the purposes a bit. So, for instance, that's why a lot of times in the workplace, if you have ongoing sexual harassment especially from management, you can get sued for a hostile work environment, right?
Yeah.
So let's say that you got a transgender person that decides that he's a female. He walks into, you know, the female restroom. Maybe there's a state of undress depending on the job. And then all the women are like, I can't work here because, you know, this is creating a hostile environment based on sex.
Yeah.
And the employer gets caught in a, you know, catch 22 of like, okay, well, I get sued by the transgender person if I don't let them, and I get sued by the women if I do. So I'm thinking something along the same lines could very well happen in schools. So I think this is something we need to highlight and show the whole thing will break down if you let this go, and that's why you need to not let it go.
It's just a great point. It's the inmates are running the asylum right now, it feels like. And I look at this, yeah, and the very idea that we're going to deny the actual biological science in an effort to make some people feel good is unbelievable to me. And they're doing it, and they're literally trying to do it as a matter of law.
Yeah, agreed. You know, it's interesting. I think especially for Christians, this is one idea. This is one place where we need to start putting our critical thinking caps on. So Augustine had a very famous line.
Oh, we lost him right as he was quoting Augustine. Boomer, I still got you. Am I good and connected?
You're still good. You got me.
Oh, man, we lost him right as he was going to quote Augustine. Well, listen, I tell you what, it's time for a break anyway. Boomer, you go ahead and see if you can get him back on the line or tell him if he wants to call back in. We'll take that comment right before we wrap up at the end of this break. But right now, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. I hate that he was cut off in the middle of Augustine. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be finishing this one up right after the break. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Wrapping up our discussion on the Biden administration trying to kill Title IX. So my buddy Matt Clark just dropped his call, right? I mean, his call just dropped off right as we were about to have our IQs elevated by a quote from Augustine. So I hear he called back in. Matt, what you got, man?
Hey, yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties. Not sure what happened there, but I'm here now. So Augustine had a quote that Dr. Martin Luther King was very fond of, saying an unjust law is no law at all. And I think he's absolutely right about that. So when you take the law and you use it to subvert the very purposes of Title IX and the fundamental laws of nature, right? Like, you know, we don't have a law protecting property because the law created property. Property already existed, all right, and that's why we have laws to protect it. We don't have laws protecting life in order to give people life. They already had it, and then we have laws to protect it. So Augustine, you know, got into some of this critical thinking, like, look, when the government starts subverting these very laws of nature, and we're not talking about a gray area here, we're talking about something that's quite that black and white. It's not that it's bad law, it's that it's not law at all. And so, you know, there have been times over recent years where there have been some judges across the United States that have demonstrated some thinking like that, that go right to the roots of our system, which presume that, look, there is a God who gave people rights, and then people form governments with those rights, the kind of thinking that we see in our Declaration of Independence. So the question then follows, if the government exceeds not only the will of the people, but of, you know, the laws of nature that authorize the people to form governments, is that law of any validity? Augustine said no. Dr. King said no. I think the Bible teaches the answer is no. So, you know, the time is coming for us to start thinking, do we really believe these principles, or are they just nice words that we read on the 4th of July that don't have any practical effect anymore?
That's so good, Matt. Man, what a great summary. That was spot on. And, you know, and I look at this too, you're right, the natural law, and then questioning I mean, you literally are seeing a conflict of constitutional principles here. Do people have a right to self-expression? Certainly. But people also have a right to their religious faith, their belief systems. And for them to say, the Biden administration to say they're gonna limit federal funding to feed the poor children in your school if you as a Christian school take that money, but you have to bend, you know, your Christian beliefs in order to get the money. It's just, I mean, everything about this, you're right. What an unjust law. And when you have an unjust law, what a great quote. It is no law at all. That's, wow. Well said, man.
No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hopefully hopefully, if the courts do their job, we don't even need to get to the point where we ask those questions of, do we consider this law at all or not? There are multiple ways to try to beat up the Biden administration's actions through more conventional methods, and I hope that those succeed.
Well, I do too, and I appreciate your time today. Matt Clark, Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Tell folks where they can find out more about you if they want to.
Absolutely. Feel free to check us out at alabamalawandliberty.org, and we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. So feel free to find us there.
All right, Matt Clark. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure, Phil.
Hey. So listen, folks. I'm telling you, this is one. This is basically a draw your line in the sand moment. And don't think for a second that, well, you know, I don't have kids in the school system, this one doesn't really impact me. It does impact you. It does. If you think for a second they'll stop here, then what they believe is they've got the power of the checkbook, right? They got the power of the purse, so to speak. The executive branch believes that it's got carte blanche ability to tell you you don't get your money unless you do things the way we say. Well, where does that stop? How about this? What about church basketball leagues? Well, you can't. That's a church basketball leagues. Why would you say that, Phil? We don't get federal funding. No, but those churches do get a 501c3 status that allows them to raise their revenues in a charitable sense. How about they pull that? Oh, Lord, wait a minute. Or how about this? They move us eventually to a digital central bank currency. And then they could say, yeah, you know what? You're not playing well, church. You're not playing well, Christian school. You're not playing well, for that matter. You're not playing well, Islamic madrasa. You're not playing well, Hindus. It doesn't matter what the faith belief system is. You don't like it? Guess what? They can get in there and turn off the currency, and you can't access your accounts. I mean, I'm just telling you, draw a line in the sand here, folks, and do not think for a second if you don't have children, this doesn't matter to you. It does matter. It matters. It matters to the very sanctity of our nation. This is madness. And by the way, my sweet wife just pointed out that this is a teeny tiny minority that wants this done. A teeny tiny minority really want this done. And somehow or another, they've gotten to say, well, I got news. It's time for the inmates to stop being allowed to run the asylum. And we better start speaking out and putting the right people in office and making sure that we go to the polls to vote. I'm just telling you, this is do or die. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Man, the text lines have been fun today. By the way, you want to text in? We'll take it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. And if you text in for the very first time, by the way, make sure that you text the word right side. Just one time. Just text the word right side to 833-68-RIGHT. And then, yeah, we'll ask you, it'll send you an automated message back, ask you for your first name, where you're from. We'll plug you into the system with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more that we have in there, and just jump right on in where you can and hang on. By the way, Boomer has been doing a great job of taking every day. I do the resources. You hear me rattle the paper, right? I got the different stories to go along with each of the dippers. And more often than not, somebody will say, "Hey, where did you get that story? I mean, where was that thing you read the one about whatever?" And so we started just about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. We started posting them daily on the website. So you can go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and look for the live stream tab. And then right there, you'll scroll down, and sure enough, you'll see a button that says resources. Click on it. It'll show you today's triple dipper and every story we've got to go along with that dipper. So if you heard a story, if you want to grab it for yourself, send it to a friend, whatever, it's all right there on the resources button at the bottom of the live stream page. Go grab it and read along, share it with a friend. I got to tell you, too, I got some interesting texts. So I just got one, and I'm not going to name the company because I don't want to do that, because in this particular case, it's a local company, and this guy points out it's just not like it used to be. But he says, this is Brad in Limestone. Brad in Limestone County says he works for, he names a company, which was bought out and is now owned by a D.C. area company. He says the hypothetical that Matt just brought up about the transgender marching into a women's restroom, he says we literally have a company document addressing that situation. And he paraphrases, he says the paraphrase of it is, if the transgender's presence makes you uncomfortable, do not ask the transgender to find another restroom, you find another restroom. He says, yes, it actually says that. This company is now a sad shell of what it once was. Wow, that's just...
That blows my mind.
I know. I mean, it just does, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You find another restroom.
Asking the person that it was born that sex to move to another restroom when the other person identifies, yeah, and you don't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah, hurt their feelings. Yeah. I mean, I guess too, if you comment on it, it's considered harassment in the workplace, probably, you know. What are you doing here? You look like a dude. You can't say that to me. Well, Jim, you were in the men's room last week. Don't call me by my dead name. It's lunacy. Absolute lunacy. All right, listen, we're gonna switch gears on this, but you're still welcome to text it in. In fact, I just saw we have a brand new texter, Barbara from Trinity. Is in there. I see her texting in. And Ken from Athens and Roger from Munsterville are all texting in. Wanda from Somerville just texted in and said, "What's the heck? What the heck?" She didn't say it this way, but she says, "First time to do the live streaming on your we do a live video streaming of the studio, except that I'm actually broadcasting from a secret and undisclosed location today because I'm out of town on business." So,
oh well, next time. Yes. And next time we'll do video from the remote place.
Maybe we shouldn't do that. I don't know. I just Phil, we know where you are. My secret bunker has been disclosed. I'm in the bat cave somewhere. But anyway, all right. Listen, I'm gonna switch gears for a little while. Russia, Russia, Russia. That's number two of the triple dipper. So let me first of all bring you up to date on a major, major breaking story, a story that's still unfolding before us as we speak. So in case you didn't see it, there was a huge, massive leak in Pentagon intelligence. Documents, actual documents posted. What we know so far is that these documents somehow made it onto a forum or a gaming platform. And by the way, it's amazing how people communicate, but chat rooms, gaming platforms, those all become surreptitious means of people to communicate. And so you will have people who, you know, log in different parts of the world to allegedly play a online-based game or something together, but then they really go off to the side, they communicate in the game, and it goes away. It's amazing the ways to get around, you know, being discovered. Well, somebody within this forum or gaming platform, they were talking about Ukraine. They're talking about Russia and the war in Ukraine. And this person, whoever this is, we don't know yet. Right now they're saying this leak is bigger than Snowden, all right? That this leak is bigger than what's his name, Manning, that you know, all of whom grabbed documents and published them out. These are documents that clearly indicated ongoing battlefield analysis. And these documents and the commentary attached to the documents seem to indicate that Ukraine's air defenses were faltering because they were running low on air defense ammunition, missiles, surface-to-air missiles. It also talked about the efficacy of the planned counteroffensive by Ukraine against Russia. It talked about what certain other allies are doing or not doing in relation to Russia, and how some are, like, for instance, I think it was Egypt, is said in some of these are, by the way, these are Pentagon briefing documents. These are intel analyses with maps and all of it that were used to brief a limited number of Pentagon high-level officials. And one of them seems to indicate that Egypt is violating sanctions. Egypt, a country that we provide massive aid to every year, which kind of boggles the mind when you get down to it. Egypt was then going to allegedly supply missiles to Russia, taking our money, and then money's fungible, you know, move it around. What do you? And then they were going to supply arms to, now Egypt denies it, but we're also seeing somewhere in those documents that the United Arab Emirates was discussing directly with Russia how to bypass some of the oil embargoes and sanctions. So all of this gets out. The Pentagon is apoplectic right now. This is one of the biggest security breaches in the history of the United States. Here's my theory. As I get into this topic of Russia, and other things related to Russia, and whether or not Russia is as strong as they had always portrayed themselves to be, what we're seeing right now is something that I believe could very easily have been Russia-enabled in terms of the leak. I'm not going to be a bit surprised. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out that this was maybe a disgruntled deep state employee. Maybe a clumsy attempt by someone to take care of documents that were then picked up by someone else. I don't know. But in the end, I think the disclosure was in some way possibly foisted upon the world by Russia. Because what does it do? It undermines all of the allies. It undermines Ukraine. And who benefits from that? Russia. So yes, the largest ever, one of the largest ever at the very least, security breaches in U.S. history, documents clearly indicating battlefield analysis and the efforts of allies to do or not do certain things in relation to Russia, all managed to leak onto an online platform and then got out to the world. Fox News and a number of other reporting agencies have taken the position that they will not put those documents out because they feel like they would be just perpetrating the issue, but they're talking about it. But there was some platform that had them on there. I think it was on Twitter, as a matter of fact, at first for a while, and you could see them. It's a mess. It's a mess. And I believe that somehow or another, Russia is actually involved. But Russia's got their own issues. Story here from military.com. And this one's a few months old, but I didn't even catch it until recently. But Russia's got their own security breach issues. Like, did you know, I did not know this, that a Russian engineer named Gleb Karakulov recently defected from Russia. But he was not just an ordinary defector. Karakulov was an officer in President Vladimir Putin's personal secretive security service detail. He was one of the guys who made sure that no matter where Putin was, he had secure communications. And while he wasn't a confidant of Putin per se, he saw him regularly, he watched his schedules, he knows how he does things, he knows what his reactions are, he knows what his communications needs are. Certain things like knowing that that Putin never had a cell phone on his person, he doesn't use the internet, he insists on having access to Russian state TV no matter where he is in the world. But he's also becoming somewhat of a shell of the man he used to be. And this particular person says he's a defector because he believed that Putin had become a war criminal and it was time to end the war. I can tell you right now, he managed to defect. I don't know how he did it. He managed to defect with his wife and child. And the AP has now independently confirmed his identity with three sources in the U.S. and Europe, according to this article. The AP has also confirmed that Karakulov is listed as a wanted man now in Russia. And the Interior Ministry there in Russia initiated a criminal investigation against him for desertion during a time of military mobilization. and the FSO that he worked for, which is known as the Federal Protective Service. The FSO is one of the most secretive branches in all of Russia's security services. So Russia's got its own issues with security breaches. And that's on an epic scale. That's when you've got somebody who was the right-hand man as part of the security detail for the president of the country who defects. Yeah, you got issues, man. You got lots of issues. All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back and spend a few more minutes unpacking things that are happening around Russia. Why am I doing this? Because the Russian bear was seen to be the enemy of the Cold War. The one that we had to stand back and watch for constantly. Are they going to come through the fold of gap? What is NATO going to do? And now we're finding out that in some ways they're sort of toothless, but they're also reckless. And I'll tell you about the Wall Street Journal reporter that is now being held prisoner in Russia. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk radio, Right Side Radio, live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, we cover it solid, conservative, just plain right. Well, inexplicably, we are already in hour number three. So this is that time, though. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Play the camel day. This is the day when we go to what we call the Grand Council with two of my brethren who do talk radio, been doing it longer than me. We got Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you present? Stand at ease. All right, so also on the line with us, Jeff Poor, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, and also the executive editor for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed present. All right, man, I pronounce a quorum. Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. You guys know the rules. We ping each other with questions about current events, see what kind of answers we get. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. We have to love each other, though, when it's still done. So I'm starting with Dale Jackson. What you got for us, buddy?
The Arizona House just voted 46-13 to expel Representative Liz Harris without telling you what political party she's in. Is it a threat to democracy?
The Arizona House? Now, I did see, by the way, that the second Tennessee guy, Boomer was telling me that apparently their city council voted him back in. So both of the Tennessee refugees have now been thrust back into the limelight. They'll be back in legislative action. Threat to democracy? I mean, it's a kakistocracy. We know that. A government run by the least competent of its members. But, yeah, whatever. Jeff, your thoughts?
We not hearing that she's a Republican for a reason. So yeah, you're right, Dale. But is it a threat to democracy? I never thought it was, and it's just a sorry, sad, lazy talking point.
It is, and I'll tell you, I'll chime in before Dale goes back to his own question. But the reality, I've been saying too, these guys getting voted back in Tennessee, good for them. They still come back with an asterisk next to their name. The process allows them to be thrust out. The process allows them to be thrust back in. That's just the way it works. But Dale, your own question. What are you thinking?
I don't think it's a threat to democracy. She violated their rules, and that's exactly how it's supposed to work. But it is kind of funny. The people still voted for her and put her in there, and now they're putting her out.
What allegedly did she do? Do we know?
She brought some unfounded political or some criminal charges against other members of the legislature. And brought a guest that spoke on them before one of their bodies, and that's against the rules. And
wow,
they put her out.
Well, and rightfully so. You know what's funny too? People don't realize this. So every year down in the legislature, you know the deal, and I know y'all see it, but people aren't talking about the fact that you have to vote to approve the rules. So the body votes to approve the rules. So you know what they were. It's not like you're blindsided. Allegedly, you voted to approve the rules, and here we are. Your question, Jeff Rowe, what you got?
Are you guys as excited, and when I say excited, I'm not very, but excited as I am about this school choice bill rolled out yesterday?
So did I hear you say you're not very excited about it?
I am not. I'm very underwhelmed about let me just say this. I'm not excited. I'm just underwhelmed by what is actually going to pass, and I don't think this is it.
Okay, interesting thought on that, but I'll let Dale go first, and then I'll chime in. Dale, what you got?
Well, Jeff's theory or Jeff's premise of his question is that it's not going to pass, and for that reason, I am underwhelmed. I don't hate the idea of the education savings accounts. I would be fine with that being a starting point for school choice, but it doesn't even look like it's going to be that.
Well, underwhelmed? Am I underwhelmed? I'm only underwhelmed by the idea that leadership cannot grab hold of this as being a necessity, as something that not only polls extremely strongly with their constituents, the very people they're there to represent, but it also means, good stewardship for the state. I mean, we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result and just throwing more money at it every single year. So, I'm only underwhelmed with leadership's lack of proclivity to move towards something that actually makes good sense and is being successful in other places. I like the merits of the bill. I'm for the bill. And at this point, I don't know that there's anything in the bill, because I haven't read it yet, if there's anything in the bill that I take issue with. So, Jeff, what do you take issue with in it?
I don't take issue with the bill at all. I take issue with the approach. We haven't cleared a path with the AEA. I don't think we're there yet to be rolling out plans. I mean, I guess it's important to get some kind of opening salvo out there, but how seriously are we trying to get this done? And I don't see it. And that's why I am underwhelmed.
So clear a path with the AEA. I mean, what do you mean by that? Because in my opinion, we've got the ability to run over the AEA, and we should. That's the part that I'm underwhelmed with, is that leadership won't just bull rush the AEA and tell them to pound sand. That's what needs to happen.
But they got money, man. You're not gonna. As long as they're willing to send a check to all 140 members, I mean, that's gonna be a lot harder than it used to. Well, they probably send a check to 120 of the 140. Some there on the AEA's bad side, but it's gonna take, guys. The Republican Party having the flex here and say the AEA doesn't have a place in the GOP or something, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Right now, truly the ones who are taking the money from the AEA could care less that the party says don't do it, because they already do say don't do it. But back in the day, we flexed at the AEA and we won, but we did it because we stood together to do it. Right now, the question is, do they? And a lot of the old Republicans used to take money from the AEA because it was the only way you could survive. But we got them to quit. It just still irks the crap out of me.
Well, I don't mean to filibuster or whatever, but it's not happening until they're out of the way or until whatever reason they would support it. I don't think they will, but they seem to think there's no reason to come to the table now. They thought they were going to have to, but now it's just like we don't even got to do that now.
Yeah, the AEA is not going to step aside. They're not. The AEA will never step aside. You're going to have to beat them into submission to make it work. That's the only way it's going to work. Beat them at their own game. All right, enough of that. Hey, I got to ask you, though. By the way, that was one of my questions. So I guess I'll mark that off my list. But I just caught wind this morning that a local bill for Vestavia just passed. One of the first bills to go to the governor for signature. It was bum rushed through the process. And this local bill is going to raise property taxes by 11% if the people voted in it. It's going to raise in Vestavia. But this local bill went through on a bum rush. Local bills never go through this fast. And they got this thing through. It creates a referendum in just 28 days. In other words, there's no time for the for the opposition to prepare. All of the pro raise our taxes for education, do it for the children group already had their social media campaigns ready in the can, and they launched the day this thing passed. And I'm hearing about this now and thinking, good Lord, is this the new formula to raise taxes? Rush it through on a local bill, do them piecemeal like this, and then make sure that the referendum's 30 days from now. A special referendum, nothing else on the ballot, just this. You know how that's going to go. Jeff, you first.
Well, could you have done this without Jabba Wagner, the Vestavia rules chairman? I mean, this sounds like you didn't even need him on board. But, like, yeah, I you know, if they pull this off, it'll be quite a feat. But that's a big number, though. Am I wrong here? Like 11%? Like, you know,
it's huge.
3-4%, you're like, this is typical, right? 11% is a lot. I mean, I got to think, Senator, it's already pretty high there, right?
Oh, yeah. And apparently this is they've got a breakdown on where it would go. And the biggest chunk of it goes to athletic facilities for local schools. That's what they're talking about. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
They want to compete with Hoover and Thompson, I guess?
I guess. I don't know. Dale, your thoughts on it?
Well, the people are going to get to have a say, and it'll be interesting to see if they go along with it. Like you said, they've already maybe it's already baked in here the way they're going to do this. But you know, those individual those legislators who did that, will they have to pay a penalty for this down the line?
I don't know. But one of the things that just happened was apparently I'm told I haven't seen it yet, but what I'm told is they got it through on a voice vote, so there's no record of actual participation in the vote other than someone was there. And just rushed it right on through. That's wrong, man. It's just wrong. I know it's a referendum. They'll say in the end, it's a vote of the people. It's a vote of the people 28 days after you passed a bill that nobody knew was coming. So, ain't good. All right, fellas, round one. That's round one complete. We'll go ahead and go to the break right now. We'll come right back. I'm with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show down in Mobile, also the executive editor for 1819 News, and Dale Jackson up yonder at WVNN in Huntsville, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, and a writer for Yellowhammer News. All right, y'all stay tuned. More Grand Council right after this. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going right back now to the Grand Council with Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile and executive editor 1819 News, Dale Jackson, WVNN up in Huntsville, and, oh, by the way, writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, you got the first question, round two.
82% want the grocery tax gone, or 83%, 42% roughly want the rebate check. The rebate check, oddly enough, breaks down pretty ideologically with Democrats saying, give me a rebate check, and the Republicans saying, no, don't do that. But they all want the grocery tax. There might be something there to say about how Democrats view government as like an ATM or something like that. But are legislators listening to that? Because it seems like they're still trying to figure out a way to have both at this particular point in time, with both a rebate and a grocery tax cut.
Well, I'll be honest with you. They do both. Great. I mean, I think that's awesome. The rebate, I mean, I'm not as big a fan of throwing money back into the crowd, so to speak. I mean, it's our money, but that's kind of the cheesy way of doing things, if you ask me. But the tax reform piece, this grocery tax, and by the way, Dale, you've had Arthur Orr on your show about this issue, haven't you? I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk to him directly, but he's the one sponsoring the bill in the Senate side. What's he saying?
Well, I think he sponsors both bills, actually. I think that he has a finger in both of these pies. And he sounds way more about the grocery tax than the rebate. I think he was just doing the rebate piece as a sort of, I'm the budget chairman, so I'll put this forward.
Yeah, just carrying the governor's water on that one, which is not really an insult. He may have also been grabbing hold of it to control the flow, which I've seen him do that, and rightfully so sometimes. But Jeff, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's a courtesy to the governor, he says. when he says he did that. I was listening to Penny McClamy, a Democrat in the House, the Alabama Rise. These guys, so these Democrats are on board with this. They want to do both, but they also are keeping open the possibility of quote unquote revenue replacement, meaning they are looking at a way to maybe increase taxes in the future, to make up for if there's any lost revenue coming out of from the repeal of the grocery tax. And also a very important point, they want to repeal it all right now. They don't want to wind it down as Orr and Garrett are proposing. But yeah, I think that's the pathway. I think the Orr Garrett approach is probably the best shot at it. Both budget chairmen and on the ETF, it's going to be hard to beat that.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, as long as they're truly carrying it in good faith, and by the way, I don't say this like condescendingly towards them, but what I'm saying is, as long as they're not doing this as a means of sort of obstructing anybody else being able to get a bill or another vehicle to do it, I think their bill is good. I think you go ahead and phase it out. I'm a little concerned that it's not as broad as a true grocery tax cut because it doesn't cover everything. It just covers what's covered as by the definitions under WIC. But still, it's better than nothing. And I'll be honest with you, it's got more legs right now than it's ever had. All right, Jeff, question number two, what do you got?
I'm beginning to think the DeSantis presidential ambitions are maybe going to not happen this time around. And I only say that, it just looks like Trump's got some momentum, and even if DeSantis were to launch, he's got a long way to go to come back. It may not be worth his time this time around. What say you guys?
I tend to agree. I've been thinking the same thing. Where DeSantis is keeping his powder dry, and I think partly to see what's happening with Trump. I mean, I think the allegations against Trump and the legal battles he's facing are truly heinous. I don't think they have merit. But at the same time, if you're an outsider looking in, deciding what your future is in politics, you have to wonder, is this going to take him out? I better wait and watch and see what's happening. But at the same time, I just feel like there's been a whole lot of good stuff happening in Florida, and he may be thinking, I want to continue to ride this train and be here for my state for now. So I'm watching this, but I agree with you. I see a lack of momentum at the moment. Dale?
Guys, Donald Trump sent a truth out the other day where he said DeSantis is a good guy, and he's only concerned that DeSantis might rip the Republican Party apart if he runs. So Trump's concerned about unity and being nice. So I think we should all take a page out of Donald Trump's playbook and work to bring the Republican Party together. And I think that maybe DeSantis should do that as well, you know, like Trump would do.
Well, and I still know there are people that are saying, man, just make DeSantis the vice presidential candidate, run, and then, you know, we'll see how long Trump can stay in, or for that matter, he serves 4 years and DeSantis is the dude. But it's hard to work for Trump, and DeSantis may not want to run down that road. Anyway, all right, last question. I'll tell you what, did you have any more to add on your own question there, Jeff?
No, I just, you know, what makes me a little hesitant to wave the white flag for DeSantis is he's hot right now, okay, and this is when you're supposed to run, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see, man. All right, my last question with hardly any time to deal with it. I want to know, has Dale recanted his misguided support on the infringement of the Second Amendment due to Barbara Drummond's parental liabilities gun bill? I'm concerned for you, Dale, and this is an intervention. Jeff and I are here for you, but you've been hurting the ones you love.
I am more in favor of it than I ever have been. They're arresting that girl, the lady in Virginia, for her son shooting that other teacher for a similar reason. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Dale Jackson. Jeff, chime in here, man. What do you think? Have we lost Dale?
Surprise, Dale Jackson, big government guy here. Whatever government suits him, what the hell?
Constitution?
All right.
What's the Constitution got to do with anything? The Constitution?
Those guys are old and dead. They didn't know what they were doing.
All right, Dale, we love you no matter what. This is where somebody in my family would just look at you and go, I love you in spite of yourself, just so you know.
Thank you so much. I just look, can't we all just be like Trump and get along?
All right, fellas, appreciate you. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, and an executive editor for 1819 News. Dale Jackson, 770 AM, 92.5 FM up yonder in Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer News. And little old me, that's your Grand Council. All right, we'll be right back. Last half hour of the show. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most awesome, beautiful state here in the United States. I'm talking about the great state of Alabama. And this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got to pause and tell you about the Elm Foundation. The Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors on the show. And you need to check them out because the Elm Foundation is doing some major cool stuff right now to change people's lives. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like the way that conservatives believe it should be done, to be honest with you, like accountability, like giving a hand out, not a hand up. I mean, excuse me, a hand up, not a hand out. It's amazing the way things work when you actually apply principles, you know, godly principles, true conservative principles to changing people's lives. They respond and it works. So the Elm Foundation, ELM, that stands for Expect Little Miracles, the Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville, what they do is they get involved in people's lives that are down on their luck, that are disenfranchised, that are, you know, even on the streets, and they help them with, you know, job security and finding a means by which they can pick up job certifications and building their resumes, and then also, by the way, life habits and life skills, and they walk them through it. And they literally provide them the accountability. It's not just a go you there for, it's a, hey, we'll be right there with you. And by the way, we're going to check on you and you better meet your milestones. That's the way it works. And so, yeah, the Elm Foundation, check them out. Their website is ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, ELMHSV.org. That's ELMHSV.org. And if you meet them, talk to them, donate to them for that matter, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would really appreciate it. All right, I got to turn to the text line for a minute because several things were going on. So I'm looking right now, you know, with regards to, by the way, if you want to text in or call in, we got a little time left, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You can text or call that. If you text for the very first time, by the way, make sure you text the word right side, and you'll get an automatic message that says something like, hey, you right side ruffian, glad you're with us, and just tell us your first name, where you're from, and we'll plug you in. So Joe from Elkmont texted in. It's like a little thing. He says, today I went to the bank, told him I identify as a millionaire. I'd like to withdraw my money. They laughed and asked me to leave. Turns out that just because you believe something in your brain, don't make it true. And you can't force others to pretend that it is. There you go. Michelle from Huntsville takes issue with the Price Act, which is the school choice bill that is up in front of the legislature right now. Big doings yesterday in Montgomery. The Price Act has been dropped in. Senator Larry Stutz, who's been on the show before talking about it, says that he believes it's going to have broad support. Michelle, first of all, says, how's this bill going to address? Now, first of all, Michelle, I will say this. Don't let the quest for the perfect outweigh the ability to get the good, all right? And that's what you're doing. You're willing to throw it away because you got to have something else added into it. Well, Michelle says, first of all, how's it going to address CRT, SEL, and DEI? Separate bills, all right? Those are separate bills. Those things, if this bill, the Price Act, will allow people to get away from schools if they think those things are happening. Bam, there's that piece. Then what she says is, what you're saying is wrong. Digital currency is why the Price Act is dangerous. Not only is it handled through an app, but when they decide your private school doesn't follow some woke policy, they will cut you off. They don't like your curriculum, they will cut you off. First of all, Michelle, you do realize you live in Alabama, right? You're talking about the federal issue. The federals are the ones who are constantly cutting off federal dollars. By law, the money for a student goes with the student. It doesn't go with the policy. It goes with the student. So the law will be written in such a way that says, here's why it goes, and it just does. And there's right now nothing that indicates that the state of Alabama is ever going to be one of those that's going to say, and by the way, we now promote transgenders in sports. So I'm of the mind that this is not a scary thing. I think it's just new. And I also think it's being done quite well in other places. And it's a state law, not a federal law. There's enough of that. TC from Priceville texted in, said, were you aware of this? And it's, TC, I was, and it's actually pretty cool. There's a giant 120-foot cross being built just off of I-65 up in North Alabama. I'm trying to remember exactly where. I don't have time to open the article to see. My recollection was it was, well, anyway, it's way up in North Alabama, I-65, not long before we get to the border. I think it's in the area in and around Decatur, Trinity, Priceville, that area. But yeah, the construction is underway, and parts of it will be standing by next week. TC, thanks for the heads up on that. Very cool. What do we got here? Susan from Elkmont just texted in and says, reference Dylan Mulvaney. In addition to the companies you mentioned, Tampax has also hired him. You've got to, I hope that's wrong. I got to look that up.
No way. Really?
Boomer, can you look that up real quick? And just type, I know, I hate to have you do this on your computer because your search engine is going to explode.
Yeah, I don't want it on my computer.
Just type in Dylan Mulvaney Tampax and see if it comes back. If it does, oh my gosh. That's like, wow. That's beyond it. I don't get it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Is it true?
It says, hold on, let me find it. The fact checked. It is on one of the fact checks. Give me 1 second. I'm going to confirm it. Hold on.
All right. While you're doing that, I'll tell you that Glenn from Bluntsville just texted in. He says, I'm 54. I identify as 65, so I'm going to the Social Security office and apply for my retirement. tell you what, remember, if you don't find it, I'll move on. But that's, you know what, though? While it may sound shocking, at the same time, it does not surprise me. It does not. Oh man, I'm telling you, this is nuts.
There's a lot of different articles out there. I'm looking for the confirmation one, but there's a lot of ones claiming it. So I'll have to do a little bit more digging.
Like if you find a claimer, I mean, if it's a real news source, is it like Fox News or?
Oh no, that's what I mean.
PJ Media.
No real news source yet that I've found.
Okay, Lord, surely not. Surely not. I mean, I'll leave it alone. I will walk away from that one right now with my sanity intact. Hey, the third part of the Triple Dipper, opinions matter. I got to tell you, I consider this to be a more philosophical version of a dipper, all right? I got to thinking about this as I was perusing the different resources and other things, pulling together stuff for the show. I thought, you know what? There's that opinion piece written by so-and-so. There's the one that written by, and I realized, I don't think I've ever talked about the fact that there are certain people whose stuff I look for. Sometimes it's going to be a matter of, you know, just the way I see it in terms of their style, or maybe it's something, but they have a background that I appreciate. But let me just tell you, it's important that we recognize the sources that we want to get our information from. I mean, several verses in Scripture talk about this too. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Psalm 1:1 says, seek not counsel from the ungodly, seek godly counsel from those seasoned saints who you know walk with the Lord. I'm looking at this and thinking, do we know who our trusted resources are? Like I go out there in daily, if I want to know the conservative position on a topic, I'm not going to get it from Axios or Politico, right? I'm going to more likely look at Daily Wire, probably look at Fox, and make sure even on Fox that I trust the source. You got to know who your resources are, because it's so easy for us to get, and by the way, sometimes it's good for us also to get the perspective of someone who's been there, done that, who also leans in the directions that we lean, in order to expand our own horizons. I am guilty myself of finding myself talking inside a bubble. It's so easy. It's a conservative talk show. I make no bones about it. I am a conservative. I am a Christian. I am a veteran. I am a lawyer. I have my perspectives. But all these things, sometimes you look at it and go, dang, man, where do I get my information? And somebody, please, make me a little more cerebral. Somebody, make me have to think this through. So here's the first thing I would say. Find your resources. Find the people whose opinions actually matter to you. This is important, and I'm preaching to the choir because I'm talking to people right now who I know have already tuned into a show to hear a viewpoint. So on the one hand, you guys are already out there as the kind of people who would normally do this, but even still, I just suggest strongly think of it, formalize it in your mind. Think about where do you get your information. And just like Boomer and I were talking a minute ago about that story about Dylan Mulvaney and Tampax. Is it real? I don't know. Let's find a trusted resource. Well, here's the first question I would ask when I see it. First of all, what would this person say? In other words, I look at it and I think, okay, if I want to know how best to craft conservative legislative agendas, I want to know what Newt Gingrich would say. If I want to know on a matter of military policy or military strategy, what should happen next, I want to know what Jack Keane is going to say. If I want to know what it takes for someone to stand up for their faith despite the persecution for having done so, who, by the way, is also someone who I greatly respect because of the things they've done in their lifetime, I want to know then what General Jerry Boykin would say. If I want to know what somebody thinks who is a person of color, a black man, who was in the civil rights movement, but who is truly a conservative now, who speaks with wisdom and patience, I want to know then what Bob Woodson would say. If I want to know what somebody thinks about a historical perspective on where we are today compared to where great societies have been in the past, who's going to expand my horizons and make me feel smarter just for having read what he said, I'm going to go read what Victor Davis Hanson has to say. If I want to know what economics are and how best to counterpoint someone, in other words, if somebody says, this is the way it is, and I don't agree, how do I respond to that? What's a very solid way to respond to that they can't argue with? I want to know then what Thomas Sowell is going to say. So I would ask yourself, who are my trusted resources? This is huge. Opinions matter. Who are your trusted resources? And then when something comes up in those realms, ask yourself, what would they say, or have they said something already about it? And then here's the other thing. Be honest enough to say, when you read their opinion, do I agree? I fully expect, and by the way, I do not mind a moment ago that, who was that? Was Michelle, I believe, who texted in, disagrees with the Price Act. That's her right. I'm going to have my opinion, and guess what? I own the microphone. But nonetheless, I don't care if she has an opinion. I appreciate her listening to the show. We got folks that call in sometimes that are absolutely of a different political persuasion than me, and they want to go to task on a topic. That's fine. Let them. I'm glad they're listening to the show. So what I'm saying is, even with your trusted resources, ask yourself occasionally, do I agree? I mean, and if I don't agree, why? Why don't I agree? Now, this is like highbrow philosophical Phil. I mean, what are we doing here? Having philosophy 101. Yeah, we are. Using the Socratic method here, we're asking ourselves questions. We're digging deeper. But what I'm saying is this. We conservatives cannot check our brains at the door. We cannot be the kind of people who just believe so blindly that we will never even question what someone that seems to be on our side will say. But then we also have to be so well-principled that we can't be talked off the ledge on those things that are principled in nature. So question, but then know where you stand and be able to talk about it. And the way it works for me is, you know, aside from Scripture, which is unerring and you can't shake me off of that, then there are certain people, like I said, those are my go-tos. Those are the people that are smarter than me. Those are the folks who have been there, done that, and written the books, by the way. And I want to know what Newt Gingrich and Jerry Boykin and Thomas Sowell and Bob Woodson and Victor Davis Hanson, I want to know what they say. And Jack Keane, I want to know what they say. That's why I resource this show. I could get on here and turn the microphone on and just talk. I just talk. But the reality is I resource this show intensely because I want to make sure that I am versing myself so that I can then talk to y'all. And I would encourage you, do the same, man. That's the whole deal. When you have those water cooler conversations, when you're standing in the fast food line or the Sunday school or wherever else and somebody brings up a topic, you've taken the time, the extra minute it takes to read something from a trusted source, and you're ready for that conversation. And by God, they can't shake you because you've already asked yourself before you even got to their point. You've asked yourself, do I agree? And yes, I do, or no, I don't, and here's why. All right, enough of that. That's just me opining for a minute. But as Charlene will tell you, I have opinions. And one of them is I try to seek the opinions of others. And I try to have my trusted resources to make it happen. All right, Boomer, take us to the last break of the day, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and put a lid on it. It's been a good one as I'm broadcasting remotely from a secret bunker in places unknown. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Been a good show, Boomer. Been a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like it flew by, even with me secreted away in my special bunker, my undisclosed location.
Your undisclosed location that people were trying to guess on the text thread.
Well, I know. I saw David from Huntsville text it in and said, "You're really just broadcasting from the bathroom, aren't you?" No, I am not. I am not. Yeah, Boomer, thanks for setting up the technology. You made it all work, brother. Couldn't do it without you. Absolutely.
Love it.
And we got several texts here. Glenn from Bluntsville says, with regards to my last little opining there about, you know, seeking out those resources that you trust, says, if you want to know absolutely nothing about nothing, then ask Joe. No, wait, ask Nancy. Maybe AOC. No, wait, ask VP Harris. So, yes, those are trusted, untrustworthy resources. They're trusted to be untrustworthy. What do we got, too? Brand new on the text line, Russell from Somerville texted in. So the cross is being, yeah, okay, it is priceful. Thank you very much, Russell. Appreciate that very much. That's where it's going to be, right out there by the interstate. Very cool. Brian from Huntsville texted in. He says, open conversation, be it talk radio or Bible study. We are imperfect, and we learn from each other. Agreed. Totally agreed. Thank you much, Brian. Rusty from Huntsville. Rusty says he has an influential position in a school system, and surprisingly enough, he says, I support school choice. I believe if we don't want our kids to leave our schools, then we've got to do a better job as a school system. A free market is a free market, including schools. Perfect point, my brother. I appreciate you mentioning the free market there because that's a huge piece of this. Absolutely. All right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you real quickly. So something came up before the show. I mentioned it momentarily. Oh, and by the way, Boomer, you and I both got A pluses from John from Huntsville.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it just occurred to me. This is, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is the first time I've done remote broadcasting before, but since we syndicated and you came on board, this is the first time we've done remote, isn't it?
It is.
Wow.
I know.
Okay. Mark it on the calendar, April 12th, 2023. We proved the efficacy of remote broadcasting.
Yes, we have.
Now we got to find what's our next cool location going to be? Go out to the gun range?
The pizza joint? Or
a pizza joint?
I don't know. Maybe just somewhere awesome.
Pizza and guns. I mean, wow, pizza, guns, politics. There's a night. I like it. Hey, listen, by the way, I got to tell you, this thing that came up right before the show that somebody told me about, and I keyed in on it during the Grand Council. Yes, there was a local bill, and they have those. You got to watch the local bills. There was a local bill in Vestavia that the residents did not see coming. And that local bill could have the effect of raising their property taxes exponentially. And oh, by the way, it was bum-rushed through the vote process in the legislature and is literally going to go to a vote of the people by referendum just 28 days later. Nobody saw it coming. No time to mount the opposition. And I'm telling you, this show is going to talk about it. I'm going to bring this up. If you're living in Vestavia right now, you need to know that on May 9th, I think it's May 9th, I'm looking to make sure. Yeah, May 9th, there's going to be a vote in Vestavia to determine whether you have to pay an additional 9.8 mils in property tax. And that's just wrong that they rushed that through. There's no reason for it to have to go to a vote that quick. None at all. So, folks, these local bills, man, the legislature's in session right now. I'm going to tell you, we used to always say down there, nothing good happens when love breaks out on the floor of the Senate. That's when bills start flying through, and you gotta watch it. Local bills especially can mess things up. So keep your eyes. Vestavia, all you listeners in Vestavia, May 9th, man. You got to crush that thing. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys have an amazing night. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2. I will be returning from my secret bunker. See you then.